At this time, I'd like to introduce your speaker, Rosetta Kay.
Hi, family. My name is Rosetta, and I'm an addict. Nervous right now, but I know that God got me. That's when you have a family, a support group that helps you to pray so that you can get out yourself. And right now, I need to hear the serenity prayer again just for me. So can we do the reversion real quick and we can get this thing rolling? Who woke us up this morning, you all? God. Grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Oh, boy. Again, my name is Rosetta, and I'm an addict. All right. And I'm representing the East of the River area, Narcotics Anonymous, my home group. My home group is the Sunday Step Study Guide Group. We meet every Sunday at 3:30 at St. Luke's Church, 4923 East Capitol Street, Southeast in Washington, D.C. So if you're ever there, come on out and get a message of recovery. And this topic threw me. But I also want to thank the Chesapeake and Potomac Region Program Subcommittee for taking a risk with me and believing that I had something to give back. You know, because service is the rent I pay for living. And it's always better to take a position than to ask to step down from one. And in the sixth tradition, it talks about, it says, an NA group or never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, excuse me, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. And I pretty much got here the same way everybody else did. Hit my bottom and said, God help me. Came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous at 11 days clean, got my first hug, got a free cup of coffee, and I have not found it necessary to leave. And I thank you all for that because you all got me right here. And I don't feel worthy. I need to put that out there. This is one of my fears, that I don't feel worthy when I get something. So you need to know that right now. In the sixth tradition, it talks about how we are adapted from the AA fellowship. And what I like is that in this, the opening statement, the opening script for the workshops, it talks about how AA members, how the AA, we are adapted from AA. And if you read all your literature in AA, in all our literature of Narcotics Anonymous, what you'll see that it says that all our literature has been adapted from the AA fellowship and how grateful we are. And I want to thank them because without them, it wouldn't be us. And in that process, it talks about the predecessors, which were the first 100 AAs. You know, their hard-won experiences gave birth to these traditions. And our own experience have shown that these traditions are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were fulfilled yesterday. Whatever, I can't remember that part. And when I got to NA, they talked about, started reading, and you all told me to start reading. You all told me to read your literature, get into the text so that you can get some information because a lot of the times I get misinformed information. So what I started doing was I started reading the literature. I started reading the literature after I was working the 12 steps with a sponsor, did all my step work, you know, for that first cycle, and only to find out that I needed to do them again. And I always got to keep that up front. And so what happened was, in the process of doing my step work, I began to get into area to into service. I started off being a coffee maker, you know. I thought I made the best coffee in town, but I wasn't a coffee drinker, so there that was. And I moved on up, and I elevated myself, and it's something called the NA group. And it talks about in our literature, in a local service guide, it talks about the NA group. And I'm a person that I got to have, see, I can't remember stuff, right? So I have to have my literature with me so that I can go and reference point what I need to share. So if you bear with me, it says, what is a home group? A home group. In some NA communities, it's become customary for members of the fellowship to make a personal commitment to support one particular group. So I already told you what my home group is. And it's for the individual member. Guess what? It provides a stable recovery base, a place to call home, okay? Now, for the group, it ensures the support of a core of regular committed members who foster a spirit of camaraderie among the members, right? That makes the group more attractive and more supportive to the newcomers. And that's what the sixth tradition talks about. The sixth tradition, even though the newcomer, when they come here, we don't want to divert the message to let them know that any addict can lose the desire to stop using, and then find a new way to live. Any addict. And what we offer in this program is the freedom from active addiction. And in that sixth tradition, I'm thank God for the clarity statement. Because in NA, we have some language that is different from other fellowships, the other A's. And when you come in here, the name of this topic is, this ain't no rehab, right? And when you come in here, when I first got here, I said, hi, my name is Rosetta, and I'm clean and sober. Hi, my name is Rosetta, and I'm an addict and an alcoholic. Well, we have a clarity statement that says that blurs our message. In AA, you're either clean, you're either sober. In NA, you are either clean and serene, right? So I tell my sponsees that you got to know the difference if you want to stay in the house. When you're in the house, you do as the Romans do, right? When you're in, you don't go in my house and just walk in my house and open my refrigerator. We're not having that. We just don't do that. And so in the process, I'm nervous, y'all, so please bear with me and give me a little patience. I'm nervous, and I need to share that. So the clarity statement, thank you. You got my brother over there, all of y'all, my brothers and sisters. And in that clarity statement, it talks about the message being blurred, and we don't want to divert our primary purpose, which is to help the still suffering addict, be they an old-timer or a newcomer, right? And in the process, at a closing of the meeting, and we're going to end with the Lord's Prayer. You know, well, it talks about in the basic text on page 44, it says, outside of Narcotics Anonymous, there are a number of different groups practicing meditation. Nearly all of these groups are connected with a particular religion or philosophy. An endorsement of any one of these methods would be a violation of our traditions and a restriction on an individual's right to have a God of his own understanding. So, when I hear that, the Lord's Prayer, and trust me, that is my prayer, that's my preference, but I like to keep it outside of Narcotics Anonymous because that's another prayer that's outside, and I'm endorsing, and I'm endorsing that, and I'm sanctioning that. But in here, the Narcotics Anonymous, it talks about it being a spiritual, not religious program. And in that process, I stopped saying it in the meetings only. And how? Last paragraph on page 108, which is the 11th step. It says, although some of us practice a traditional religion, only rarely do we hear specific religious beliefs discussed in our meetings. We talk about a higher power in here, being diverted Not talking about, we're talking about the primary purpose is to carry the message of sharing our experience, stripping hope through the sixth tradition. And in the flat book, it talks about credibility. And also it talks about we can't be all things to all people. So with the sixth tradition, there are three things that we can't do. We can't endorse, we cannot finance, or we cannot lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. No, this ain't no treatment center. This ain't no rehab. But guess what? In Narcotics Anonymous, I get my help from y'all who all have been to rehab, huh? Most of us anyway. I get my help because God had allowed me to start a meeting. It was called Recovery at the Parkway, Steps, Tradition, and Concepts. And in that meeting, I lived in the complex, and they said, "Well, Miss Kelly, I had written them a letter and asked them, could I get a meeting started?" After getting with some other members and seeing the need, because it talks about the need of the community in our literature, and we needed to have a meeting in that area. And that, what happened was, they said, "Well, Miss Kelly, you don't have to pay us anything." I did know at that time about the sixth tradition, but I didn't know. And I told them, I said, "No, we must pay some rent." So we said, "Well, okay, Miss Kelly, you can pay us yada yada yada, and whatever." I said, "Well, okay, you know." And then I went. It was like, "Well, no, Miss Kelly, you don't have to pay, but what we're going to do is we're going to put the money for the rent, we're going to put the money into for the children fund." I said, "Okay, do what you got to do." So I'm getting ready to get the meeting started, the group getting ready to get started, and I was running past one of my best friends, and they said, "Well," she said, "Well, hold up, you told them to put it in the children's fund." I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, isn't that a violation of the sixth tradition?" I said, "What you talking about?" She said, "We don't endorse children funds. We don't lend a name, and we don't finance." I said, "Well, God," I said, "you know what? I had to go to the sixth tradition, and I had to read it again." So what I did was, we went back to the meeting, to the people that was the owners, and they said I had to show them about our sixth tradition and us not having to say that we could, they whatever they wanted to do with their money, they can do it. And it says, "Good public relations can help our groups better fulfill our primary purpose, but cooperation with other organizations can also lead to conflict." Do you know that the federal government, that the government wants Narcotics Anonymous? Do you know that the World Health Organization wants Narcotics Anonymous? They want to have the Narcotics Anonymous name. But see, what they don't know is that the ultimate weapon is another recovering addict. They are trying to figure it out. I think we know that the ultimate weapon is another recovering addict, right? Because I can't get my help from nobody out there. I only could get my help from you all in here. I have no place else to go. So if I were to lend my name, would to lend Narcotics Anonymous name to an outside facility and say, "Yeah, come on," we would be shot to hell. We would start having to bend to their rules. So, no. When NA's identity becomes too closely tied to the identity of another organization, the clarity of our primary purpose is muddled, losing some of its power. So when you come in and you're talking AA, please leave it out the back door. Please leave it. It's just confusing the newcomer. They think that they can get this information like that, but that's misinformed information. The sixth tradition warns us of three things that could blur our message: endorsement, financing, and lending our name. In the flat book, it reads, "We can't be all things to all people because we have to have our own credibility. Our own credibility is what? Our experience, our strength, and our hope." That's it, cut and dry. Now we come to we say, I lost it, y'all. I am so nervous. I am so sorry, but it's all good. God is still going to work with me. And it talks about how in this sixth tradition that if we lend our name to a related facility and call it like the NA Medical Center, that would be the ultimate endorsement, and that is a violation of our traditions. Our traditions are never never. So in that process, what happens is I went to them, told the people what was going on and why we couldn't endorse them, and guess what? They understood. And so we did some cooperation without affiliation in that process. In my local service guide, we have subcommittees, which is called H&I and public information, that does the six tradition stuff that we need to do. In that process, the H&I committee, they do the flyers and do treatment panels and to carry the message for places that can't come to us. So we got to be well known, in other words. And so we have some correctional panels that are held for inmates at jails and prisons as well. Also, we interact with the facility administrators. And in the process of that, we have our public information who conduct public meetings for the community members. They also distribute public service information. If you go out into the big room out there where the registration is, you're going to see a PI subcommittee table. You're going to see the TV, and they're going to have all these flyers and things, right? And then it has some subcommittee, the PI subcommittee, they develop separate working groups called CPCs, which is cooperation with professional communities. And their relations is with the local treatment centers as well. And so in the sixth tradition, it talks about us financing one organization and not financing another. Well, if we finance one organization and don't finance another organization, guess what? We're going to have some conflict. We're going to have some conflict. And so when I carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, what I try to do is I try to go to the literature. I try to read from the text. And now I'm just going to do it from the heart, because one heart reaches the other. When we devote all our energies trying to carry a message of Narcotics Anonymous, like say for in the instance of area service and NA service, guess what happens? What I find and what I've seen through the area process is that it's a lot of controversy and a lot of personalities over principles. And the principles of the sixth step is humility, some faith, a little integrity. And in all of that, what happens is I hope that I have tried to develop that. I try to, just because you get an attitude with one person and I'm your friend, don't expect me to get an attitude because you got an attitude with that person. That's not practicing some integrity. We are all here together to keep a message of recovery through Narcotics Anonymous. And in the process of keeping a message of recovery, the only desire for membership is the desire to stop using and hear you all. The fifth tradition is our primary purpose is just to carry the message. And the message is that any addict, again, can stop using, lose the desire to stop using, and find a new way to live. And in the process of that, when I use other literature, I come to Narcotics Anonymous, and I see that a flyer don't have our logo on it with the circle or the three logos, and I don't see that aura down there, I know that that's not a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, because the symbol is through our board of directors for the CPR in CPR region, that the logo is supposed to be on flyers when we give NA dances. You know, everything that we do, we supposed to have a primary purpose that's coming through Narcotics Anonymous, but just by carrying the message. Because if the newcomer think that you can give a dance and use the Narcotics Anonymous name, they would think that's all right, and that's not right. That's not right. You know, our traditions are never in competition with one another. So in carrying the message, when we devote our energies and funds to carrying an NA message, guess what? We free ourselves from distractions or conclusions with the primary purpose of other organizations. And in the process of doing that, guess what? When I carry a clear message, it reflects my integrity. When I carry a clear message, it reflects, when you carry a clear message, it reflects your integrity. This sixth tradition is just meaning that when, no, you know, universal language, everybody can understand it, that we just don't endorse anything here. We don't endorse anything but the primary purpose, and that's Narcotics Anonymous program, 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts of NA. And in the process, when we're in area service, and we're here in area service, and we have that lone voice that goes and that talks about the traditions and the concepts, and people don't want to hear it. We're not here for that. We're here to hear that person's message so that they can not be diverted from the primary purpose. When you give raffles, guess what? What is your motive for doing a raffle? What's the motive? Ask yourself a couple of questions. Am I doing it for the primary purpose to help the newcomer, or am I doing it for the primary purpose to help me, the individual? You know, the sixth tradition is just a tradition that I really love. I love this tradition because it lets me know that without the other ones and without getting some clarity, that I will mess this thing up. Because it would be all about me, can't you see? The sixth tradition is the boundary tradition. My boundaries are that I cannot go out in finance, I can't endorse it, I can't lend it, I can't lend our name to any related or outside facility. I cannot do it. This ain't no rehab. No, it's not a rehab. This is a fellowship of men and women for whom we share our experience, strength, and hope. No, this is not a rehab. This is not rehab at all. But guess what? In the process of coming to believe that there is a power that's greater than me, I understand that I, the me part, I have to do the work in order to understand what this means to me. And what this means to me is that one more time, I have to give a message. And that I hope that I can be an example to somebody, and I hope that I won't give anybody some misinformation, to hope that the newcomer can see, can read the text for themselves so that they can understand and get a true understanding of what this traditions is all about. These traditions are not negotiable. They are the and they are the things that keep our fellowship alive and free. And it talks about our identity. It talks about being anonymous. You know, when we come in here, just taking pictures, we're diverting. We're taking pictures because of the individual and not because of respecting the members that's in Narcotics Anonymous who may not want to be identified, click, click, by seeing their pictures in somebody else's home. You know, the principle of harmony. We're supposed to work together. Do we? Do I work? I always try to go in principle, and I never try to go in personality. You know, I'm not perfect. I do judge. But then I have some step work that just simply says that I have to take a look at me and I have to go on the inside as to why I judge. So diverting my primary purpose is that if I don't follow the traditions, if I don't follow the 12 steps, if I don't follow the 12 concepts, then I'm diverting my primary purpose. It'll be an individual, and I'll be back in selfish mode, and I'll be addict girl again, you know. This program is awesome. I want to thank you, because I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to stop because I know I need to sit down, and I've shared everything that I need to share, and I want to thank you for allowing me to be here.
About she ain't do too good. I want to introduce our next speaker, Robert.
My name is Robert. I'm an addict. Thank you. And I'm real grateful to be here today, and I'm real grateful to be clean. I owe the life that I have today to the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And I don't usually like to read from the literature, but I'm going to say a couple things from here. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. And I came to the program of Narcotics Anonymous in 1996 as a result of an intervention, and I was sent to a treatment center. I went to a outpatient treatment center because I was functioning and that my insurance only covered outpatient treatment. When I got to that treatment center, they said that you have a problem and you're an addict. And I had a hard time accepting the fact that that term could be attached to me because I had a job and a marriage and children and a home, and I wore a suit to work every day, and I thought I was all right. Addicts were something else, someone else, people that were in the street, that were homeless, they were in the gutter. They had some other kinds of problems that I didn't have. So I tried to find some reasons why I didn't belong and how I could easily be excluded from this. And they told me to keep coming back. I was in group in our treatment center, and I said to them, "Why do you all keep calling yourselves addicts?" And they said, "Keep coming back." So I guess I needed to learn a little bit more about what an addict was. And as I did, it became very evident that I was an addict and I needed to get myself into a program of recovery. And it was suggested to me that I start going to meetings. And they listed something A, something A, something A, all these various fellowships. And they suggested I try to go to one of those where I felt comfortable and go to a meeting on a regular basis. So here I was in this treatment 3 nights a week, and they said that you need to go to 4 meetings a week. In addition to the 3 nights at outpatient treatment. I told them I didn't think I had enough time for that because my life was very full and very busy. They disagreed and said, "Just give it a try, maybe it'll work." I knew somebody who was already in recovery, and he suggested that I come to an NA meeting on a Saturday night, and I did. And I walked in there, and I saw all these people who seemed to look like me, but I didn't understand why they had this problem that they couldn't handle, and I had to come in here and join them. Someone came up to me and said, "You must be new," and gave me a hug and told me his name, and he said, "Come on in and have a seat. There's some coffee over there. Why don't you join us?" And that group is my home group, and I wrote it on my badge when I got here yesterday. It's a Good Deal group in Rockville, Maryland. We were in Wheaton, Maryland at the time, in Montgomery area, and I live in Silver Spring, Maryland, and I've been clean ever since. When I came here, I thought I was going to take care of this little drug problem that I had and then just move on with my life. I wasn't expecting all these things to happen. But immediately the program became very attractive to me because the people that were around me were very happy. They were going out to eat, they were having fun, they had friends, they had a life. And when it seemed to be overwhelming to me to try to go to a meeting every night of the week, I realized that once I had stopped using, I had nothing else to do. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more became my entire way of life. Take those drugs out and I had lots of free time. I didn't have any friends because my old friends were gone. They stopped calling, and I was not allowed to call them. And I hadn't made too many new friends yet. But day by day, week by week, I started making some new friends. While I was in this treatment center going 3 nights a week, there was a counselor in there who said to me that when I asked him about why are these people coming in and they seem to be relapsing and going in and out? And he says, "Well, that happens sometimes, but you know what? It doesn't need to be you." And I thought you come to treatment, you go to meetings, and you get clean, and then you move on with your life. And that still rings very clear to me in my mind today that I could stop using, and I didn't have to go through that all over again. And it was very easy. And the example and the attractiveness that was set forth by my predecessors was something that I could do too, because I wasn't as bad as some. Some of them had the problems I had. Some of them had much more severe problems. And I just felt like, you know what, if you could do this, I think I could do this too. So I got the literature and I got a sponsor and I started reading. And in our group, we don't read all the readings. We only read how it works and we read the traditions. And I figured that this was the nuts and bolts of the fellowship, and this program was the steps in the traditions. So I memorized them by reading them sort of in my head as they were being read at each meeting. And I read them over and over again. I used to do drugs over and over again. I used to get high every day. I could go to a meeting every day. So the process was really very similar. And the process was easy for me because all I had to do was keep doing what I was doing before over and over and over and again. And if I keep doing what I'm doing, I keep getting what I'm getting. And what I used to get was sick and tired, coughing, broke, feeling miserable, bad attitude. I had a temperament, and I was right, and I knew it. Those were the problems that had gotten me into this program. And I got here, and I thought, well, I could stop using. I could learn to live a different way. I could make new friends. I got a raise. All of a sudden, I had a little extra cash. But I was not in control of that cash, and many of my friends have often talked about how when this intervention was done on me, I wasn't allowed to have any money or any credit cards, and I had a huge resentment about that. But I was able to get $5 a day and go to a meeting, and maybe I could go out to lunch that day. And I didn't like that one bit, but I needed to do that. And so gradually my problems started to go away. My financial problems started to go away. My desire to use drugs started to go away. And I found a new way of life in this fellowship. The fellowship and the predecessors, and I've been hearing a lot about what the Alcoholics Anonymous Fellowship had given us and how they loaned this to us and how we were able to adapt what was going on there too. But I do not want to forget the history of Narcotics Anonymous. The history of Narcotics Anonymous is showing that the addicts were going to these meetings of alcoholics and they were coming out and they were dying because they couldn't stop using. Their issues were different. The way they were regarded by the society and the members in those meetings was also such that you didn't belong here. You couldn't assemble like we do. You're different than us. You need to go somewhere else. I think this is what they did was, here's our stuff. Why don't you take this and get out of here? That's the way I interpret it. That's what I read. And this fellowship started in 1953, and I was born in 1954, and this was just coming on. It was just going on. And we know who those predecessors are, and I know what the language is, and I've heard the language, and I have a tape of Jimmy Kay, and he identifies himself as an alcoholic and an addict. I don't know why he did that then. I guess that's what they did then. And they also had, the readings had were not exactly like they are today. And I heard it from his own mouth. But I don't identify myself that way. We have learned, we have grown. We have become a fellowship of our own language, of our own identity, and it's been proven time and time again that addicts can come to Narcotics Anonymous and recover. I heard someone share earlier that there is not clean time in NA. Bullshit. I got some. I got 40-something days. I don't remember exactly. And I know there's a lot of people here. There were a lot of people that were clean when I got here. I shared my anniversary for quite a few years with somebody who has 10 years more than me. And he had 10 years when I got here, and there were other people in the room that had that too, and their recovery is in Narcotics Anonymous. I think it's important for us to carry the message of recovery. And anytime I think about a tradition or talk about a tradition, I always go back to the fifth tradition. The fifth tradition is, to me, the center of the wheel, the hub, and all these spokes around it are the other traditions. Because everything we do has to be to carry the message. Our primary purpose, And this is what I liked about Narcotics Anonymous when I got here, was that there was some structure. Although we're not organized, it seemed like it was organized to me because my life was not very well organized. It was very clear who could be a member. You didn't have to pay. You didn't have more money so you could be a member. All you had to have was the desire to stop using. Our personal recovery depends on NA unity. Our common welfare must come first. We don't charge anything to be here, but we pass a basket. So we don't have to answer to anybody else. We're self-supporting from our own contributions. And we can do what we want with that money. We can steal that money and run from the NA group and take it from the area and clean out the checkbooks. I saw that happen. And I was the police on that and tried to bust them all, but they didn't want me to get so involved. Let's be forgiving and let's be spiritual. You cleaned out the checkbook, for God's sake. You took all the money from the area. Oh, it's okay. Well, we're very forgiving people. We're very foolish sometimes, and we're very vulnerable. And we've opened ourselves up to a lot of different things. The groups can be autonomous. They can set up their groups. They can have a meeting format. They can set the length of their meeting. But they better use the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous and practice the 12 traditions in their group, or you're not getting on our meeting list. I spent a little bit of time on the meeting subcommittee. Sometimes it's called outreach, and the meeting subcommittee in the area, in our Montgomery area. And we would occasionally visit meetings that were not coming because we thought that they weren't coming to area service for whatever reason. We wanted to go and investigate that reason. We wanted to promote unity. We wanted to know why they weren't coming. Is there something we're not doing? Is the area service not serving the group like it's supposed to? And remember, the service structure is upside down. It starts with the addict and then the group and then the area and the region and on and on. And that every group is responsible, committees are responsible to those that they serve. The area was serving the group. And it seemed like perhaps we were not. And we go there and we find that they were violating traditions. They were endorsing other things. They were promoting events that were not taking place in Narcotics Anonymous. They were passing the basket around, but where the money went from there was very unclear. And they were even so bold as to say, we're having a barbecue at so-and-so's house, and we don't care if we say that in here or not. Well, me and my other committee members were outraged. So I like to take action, especially when I'm outraged, because when my blood pressure's up and I'm fired up, I'm ready. So I wrote a letter. I think writing letters is great. I think that's how you get your point across. You have a grievance with a business, you write a letter to the CEO. You got a problem with the motor vehicles, write them a letter. Any kind of institution you got a problem with, write them a letter, because you know they got the letter, you know they saw it. Because if you call them on the phone, they don't remember talking to you. So you write a letter. So we wrote a letter. And then they started showing up the area and they says, what's this? And they said, we had collectively surmised that they were violating two of the traditions, 8 and 9. It seemed like, well, maybe they really weren't, but in every other way, they were violating the traditions. So we don't lend our name. We rent from the church, but we are not associated with the so-and-so Methodist Church and this one First Church of God and this Baptist Church. But we are able to meet there. They loan us their space. We, from our collection, our donations, are able to pay them. But we are not talking about their Bible, their prayers, their symbols that they have in their facility. Sometimes they apply. This is a spiritual, not religious program. Organized churches are religious programs that are also spiritual. And I acknowledge that. And sometimes it's healthy to be in that environment. And if you choose to go there and you get your worship on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day of the week, that's fine. And you can take care of yourself and your spirituality and raise your children however you feel is appropriate. But when I go to an NA meeting, I want to hear NA language. I want the message of Narcotics Anonymous to be very clear, because that's why I got clean. That's how I got clean. That's how I stay clean. The people in Narcotics Anonymous, we're proud of what we are and who we are. I'm glad I'm an addict. I have no inhibitions about that. I have no feelings of inadequacy or lack of self-acceptance anymore. Once I saw that, you know, as I said, when I was in treatment, and I saw that definition of an addict, and I realized I was a textbook case. Not only did I marginally fit in, I was a textbook case. It's not appropriate to have literature on the table from some other fellowship or some other religious or meditative group. It is only appropriate to have NA literature on the table. And it's the responsibility of the members to share the NA way. We express our gratitude when we share and we care with others the NA way. No addict seeking recovery need ever die. It's been very clear to us what the horrors of addiction are. We know our stories and how we got here. And I don't want anybody to take this recovery away from me. And we're big and we're strong, collectively. Individually, I am powerless. I'm powerless over my addiction. That's all it says. It doesn't say I'm powerless over this and him and her and those people. It says I'm powerless over my addiction. My sponsor made that very clear to me. You're not powerless over your boss and your wife and all these other people. You're powerless over your addiction. And although my addiction may express itself in many ways and manifest itself in lots of the things that I do, that's what I'm powerless over. The way we go about it, however, can be twofold. If someone forgets to identify themselves when they go, "Who are you?" Well, let's take it easy on them. Maybe they're new. Maybe they just got out of a treatment center. And maybe when they were in the treatment center, and even though they went in there with an opiate problem or a crack problem or some other pill addiction or pot, but the treatment center and the counselor said, "Don't forget about alcohol. Don't forget about this part of your disease. Don't think that if I just don't smoke crack that I'm okay." My story tells me that I can go to happy hour after work at 5 o'clock and get half-price draft beer. And you know what? I don't consider myself an alcoholic, and I could probably go have a couple of beers. But I know, my story tells me, that after I've had those couple of beers, all the other people from work have gone home. Now the barflies are coming in, the band's coming in, the band's setting up, the band's finished and got home, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm in the back with the people who work there waiting for the coke dealer to come back in. That's my addiction. I did that time and time again, and I left the bar way after they closed, way after I told my wife I'd be home, way late because I didn't pick up the kids again. I got some reason why I couldn't be there. So when the addict comes into our program, we give them a hug. We welcome them. And if they don't know exactly how to share, and they don't know exactly the lingo, let's help them learn. I had to learn that in the treatment center, and they were kind to me, and they said, "You pick out where you want to go," and I said, "I'm coming here," because I didn't identify completely with all the other ones. And I had some people here that I knew. And although I had never heard about Narcotics Anonymous, I guess we don't get the press and the exposure in the media like some of the others. I see it all the time, the celebrity people. Got busted for cocaine again, better go to AA. What's up with that? I watch a celebrity rehab and they're talking about being sober. You know, you've been taking a lot of pain medication, better get sober. Sober means free from alcohol, I think. You know, you can look it up in the dictionary, but, you know, I think that's what it means. But in here, it's all inclusive. I'm an addict. It covers all my different areas, all my different substances. I used a lot of drugs over a lot of years, and I had some favorites, and I had some that caused me more damage than others, either physically, mentally, or spiritually. But we need to embrace the newcomer. We need to let them know that we're addicts. We identify ourselves as addicts. We don't have the Bible here. We don't have the big book. We don't want that here. You can use that if you want to someplace else. But please, come to Narcotics Anonymous and learn what we are about. I wrote an article one time. I'm a published author. How about that? In our newsletter. didn't pay very well, so I guess my writing wasn't all that good, but I was able to express my feelings about the experience of addicts or people who come out of treatment centers. And because of the exposure, and the counselors have to be, you know, sort of all-inclusive in their own way to let them know that these are the things that are available. You just spent $40,000 and went to the Betty Ford Clinic, and you're going to come out, and what are you going to find out? You can go to NA meetings for free. Well, here we are. We're free. We have no dues or fees. You know, but we want you to come back. We want you to join our home group. We want you to vote on the issues. We want you to take a service position and make the coffee. I love to have a cup of coffee when I come to the meeting. And it's nice if somebody else already set those chairs up when I showed up 2 seconds before the meeting started. But I have been that person who set up the chairs, who makes the coffee, who goes to area service and makes the best of it regardless. I love area service anyway. And I try to serve in all these different capacities. But this article that I wrote had to do with when you come out of a treatment center, find out who you are and where you belong. And try them all out if you need to, but once you get there, you settle in and you become like the people that are just like you. Make a decision to not be on the fence. I got to go here because I got a problem with this, and I got to go there because I got a problem with that. I have the disease of addiction, so I need to come to Narcotics Anonymous. I love this fellowship. I love the growth. I look at the website periodically. I love to go to conventions. I love to go to meetings out of town. I travel. And these are some of the things that have been gifts that have been given to me as a result of staying clean. I go to Florida 2 or 3 times a year. I go to South Carolina a couple times a year. I go to Ohio and visit family. And when I go, I have places that I know I can go, and I'm right at home right away. I have places, meetings that I go back to every time. I have in my phone book the numbers of the people in South Carolina, the numbers of the people in Florida. I have a home group on Tuesday, the Frontier Group in Venice, Florida. And when I go there, I guess they have some kind of roving chair or something. It says, here, Robert, you open the meeting tonight. And I read the thing, and we read from the basic text. It's a literature study group, and I love going there. I go there, and I visit my sister, and she moved this past year to, you know, about 20 miles away. So there's a newer area that I went to this time, and there are very few people with a lot of time in there. And I thought, well, gee, I don't want to come here because these people don't have any recovery. And I thought, you know what? This is where I need to go. There are fewer people. They need the guidance. They need the predecessors. They need the experienced members to keep coming back. Because if the people, like the guy I mentioned who had 10 years clean in my home group when I arrived, if those people had gotten clean and gone because their lives became so wonderful, they were no longer powerless and their lives were now manageable, I would have been shit out of luck when I got here. And I say that for myself and the people who came in after me. I am equally grateful for the people who got clean and stayed here as I am for the people who have come in after me. The people who have come in after me have shown me what it's like to go through what I had to go through one time. And when I want to make that choice, do I feel like going to that service commitment tonight? Or do I want to come in dragging my ass looking like that guy who hasn't showered in 3 days and feels miserable? I don't want to do that today. So I wrote this article, and the suggestion was basically find out where you belong, get with the program, and go there and join. I'm a member because I said I was a member. I told the group I wanted to be a home group member. They said, come on. And I've served that group in every capacity there is. And I feel very strongly about that. I'm not sure I know the answer to this question, but recently, if any of you participated in the conference agenda report, there was a question about some money being donated to an area because they had some legal fees. Can we finance this area? Should the World Service be responsible for one group's debt? Is it appropriate or violation of the sixth tradition to finance an NA group? I Not sure. Some of this is a little gray. Some of it's a little cloudy. You know, where does autonomy begin and where does it end? Where does affecting other groups or NA as a whole begin and where does it end? So the traditions can be a little bit complicated. Some of them can be. Press, radio, and films, I don't know. There's movies about addiction. There's movies about and TV shows about people in rehabs. Do NA members go on TV and say, I'm an NA member? Could I do that if I wanted to? Can I hang my sign out and say, here's NA, come on in? Pay at the door, we got a cover charge? No, I don't think so. But these are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. And in that case in New Jersey where that money was being spent on legal fees, our traditions were challenged in court, and they were upheld. This was attractive to me when I came to NA because the information was in place. The guidelines that were going to make my recovery possible had already been set out. The people that were here before me, and that may have been from the other fellowship, and really, those 12 steps did not exactly come from AA as being original. They come from something else called Oxford somewhere down the road, and I don't want to talk about things that I don't know, but maybe some people know more about that. But I've learned how to live a new way of life based on the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. I've tried to apply these principles in my everyday affairs as well, not just those of the steps, but those of the traditions. Some people have told me how they work with their sponsor on working the traditions in their life. What about being fully self-supporting? Is that part of your program of recovery? Am I still trying to get money from some other source? Am I able to go to work, make a living, come home, take care of my family, pay my bills, enjoy a vacation, drive a nice car, and dress up in cool outfits like this, and go to conventions and stay in a hotel around people that I love? I'm able to do that. And I just did my income taxes recently, and I had to send more money. And I had to ask the bookkeeper to take more money out of my paycheck, because I have to do that too. If I go to one group and I don't like what they do there, or I don't like their format, one group I go to, they all go around the room at the beginning and announce their names. One of those places in North Carolina that I would go to in Wilmington, North Carolina, they would do that, and they'd be sitting around this enormous room, three deep. By the time they did the readings and everybody introduced themselves, it was probably 20 minutes into the meeting, and then the meeting split off. Half of the group went into another room to have a step study or whatever, and then here would be an open discussion meeting. What we do in our region, particularly, and certainly in our area, an open discussion meeting is totally different than what an open discussion meeting is anywhere else. This is autonomy. They can do this. It's okay. I kind of like it. If you were the secretary of a meeting, you didn't have to go get a speaker because the meeting would be, one of the readings would be the Just for Today meditation, so they would read that. That would be the topic, or is there anybody having trouble staying clean today and wants to throw out a topic, raise your hand. Or, hey, how about a topic? Three people would say something, and those three words, you know, honesty, open-minded, willing, maybe, something like that, that would be the topic for the meeting. So I can accept that, and I like going there. And then when it comes right down to it, it's still the same message of recovery. The format's different, the rooms are different, the people are different, but the message of recovery is still the same. In NA, our message is hope. Our promise is the freedom from active addiction. One promise, you know what? Let's keep it simple, stupid. That's all I need. One promise, the freedom from active addiction is so large for me that I'm able to do all these things in my life as a result of practicing these principles in all my affairs. I love sponsorship. I love to sponsor people. I love my sponsor. He's very complacent sometimes, but I enjoy talking with him, and I enjoy seeing him, and he's always real happy, and he lives a real simple life. He doesn't need to have elaborate things. I like nice things. I like to drive a nice car. I like to wear nice clothes. I wear a suit every day I go to work. I like to shine my shoes. I like to buy new ties. I like people to buy me those kinds of gifts for Christmas. You know, I get a new shirts and ties for my mother-in-law every year. She buys shirts that I wouldn't normally buy and different colors, and I wear them, and I'm happy with that. My life has become very full. From those days when I was, couldn't figure out what to do with my free time, to now, it's very different. And it's a result of working these steps. It's having the people in my life that I really love. I have been having a real good time this weekend. I've been to a number of conventions, and for some reason this weekend has been, I think better than any of my previous ones. I'm staying in a nice place with a lot of people. At first we thought there might be too many people in one house, but it's not. The weather has been, fair. Maybe I heard some thunder a little bit ago. I don't know what it's doing out there now, but it's sometimes real cold and sometimes real rainy. Usually on Sunday when we're getting ready to go home, it turns out to be a nice day. And I've been out to dinner and I've been to some workshops, and a lot of my friends have been speaking. We've just been going from one workshop to another, kind of supporting one another. And I've spent some time with my sponsor, and I've spent some time with my sponsees, and I love the people in Narcotics Anonymous. And the reason we are is because these are the ties that bind us together. The traditions are a real important part of the recovery. It's not something to be taken lightly or something to be read in the beginning of the meeting, while you're still talking and trying to figure out who's there. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. That's a real important thing, and when I got involved with service, I needed to do that. And I was on a host committee a few years ago, and that was really challenged. And when you go to area service and in your own home group, you really have to have an understanding of that. And last night I read in the Works How and Why on the sixth tradition, and I read today on the fifth tradition. That should be the governing factor in all things that we do in NA, whether it's a dance, whether it's a raffle, whether it's a speaker jam, whether it's an H&I commitment. We should never lose focus of the primary purpose to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. And we should never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any outside facility. Find out where you belong. When you want to become a member of Narcotics Anonymous, just say you're a member. You're a member when you say you are. You're clean when you say you are. And we welcome you. I carry the message to the Montgomery County Jail, and I've been doing that for quite a few years. And I try to make it very clear to them when I'm speaking there. If any of you go to treatment centers and rehabs and detoxes and places like that, it's a little different than when you're in a regular meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, because the people there are mixed. Let's teach them the NA way. Let's carry the NA message of recovery in a very clear and concise way. We're addicts. We're powerless over our addiction, and our lives have become unmanageable. But in a treatment center, they may be something else. And they may be there because of arrested for various reasons. Or they may be in there to treat a different kind of problem. They might have a mental problem. They might have a bipolar issue. They might have an anger management. And we cannot determine whether they should be on medication or not. It's not up to me to decide that. If I'm working one-on-one with a sponsee who's taking some medication, I might talk to him about that individually, privately, and have him talk to his doctor about that. And maybe his life would be a little bit better. Maybe he could get a better chance at recovery if he wasn't taking this. Maybe he would die if he stopped taking that. I can't send that message out in an NA meeting. I can't promote the medical field or some other religion or some other method of meditation. And I cringe when I hear it in NA meeting, somebody with a lot of time talking about some meditation that they read today that they got at some place. It's not just for today. If it's just for today, say it's from the Just for Today book. You don't have to be, I'm dual addicted, and I'm all these. We're not interested in what or how much you used or who your connections were. We don't need to know you got this and you got that and I got this. We don't care about that. All we want to know is what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. Do your part as a member of Narcotics Anonymous and carry the NA message and make it very clear. Practice these principles in all your affairs and practice these traditions in your groups. And let's remember that this is a program about attraction rather than promotion. Let's live it in our lives and let's have a great time. Thanks for letting me share. That's her book.
I love the other part of your book.
Script. It works. All righty. I want to thank the speakers one more time for sparing strength and hope. All right, we have a few minutes left. Where you been? Got a few minutes left. Anybody?